A very good evening to you and welcome to Friday Sport Preview here on Manx Radio. Rob Pritchard here. I hope you've had a wonderful week as ever so far. This evening, we're going to be continuing to take a look at Team Isle of Man's big build-up to the 2022 Commonwealth Games in Birmingham this summer. We also have an international cycling event taking place on Ireland this weekend with a huge Manx sporting icon taking part as well. We have a double header of football for FC Isle of Man coming up this Saturday. And we're also taking a look at the Manx athletic scene where history has been made in the last 7 days. Well, kicking things off tonight, we're now less than 2 weeks away from the 2022 Commonwealth Games in Birmingham. The Isle of Man is sending a 34-strong squad to the Games in England's second city, who will compete across 8 different sports. We at Manx Radio have now launched a dedicated online platform to follow how Team Isle of Man is doing at the Games at manxradio.com. There you can find athlete profiles, news and video interviews and coverage, as well as all the details you need to know about where our Ireland competitors will be competing in Birmingham itself. Well, as part of our build-up to the Games, we've been catching up with athletes and coaches of Team Isle of Man. We caught up this week with Isle of Man General Team Manager Graham Hatcher and Isle of Man Aquatics Team Coach Lee Holland this week to find out how they and the athletes under their wing are preparing and feeling ahead of this great occasion.
Hi, I'm Graham Hatcher. I'm the General Team Manager for the Isle of Man Commonwealth Games team at Birmingham 2022. I'm really excited now. It has sort of crept up. It's been, I think, difficult for the organisers, difficult for our athletes and difficult for everybody with the pandemic. We're through that now. There's going to be some challenges, no doubt, with COVID while we're there. But yeah, no, I'm really excited to get going now. It's the breaks have come off, the kit's here, the athletes are in great form. So yeah, ready to go. I think it's probably overused this, every time we go to a game to say this is our strongest team ever, but genuinely believe it is. I think right across the team, the aquatics team is really strong. The athletes are great there as well. Some good PBs just in the last few weeks there for runners and the field guys there. Cycling's always been strong for the last couple of games, and yeah, really excited to see what they can do. And yeah, no, the whole team across the ball, and great to have Kim with us, our powerlifter as well. So no, a really, really exciting team. I'm looking forward to catching up with the boxers and see them perform, because it's been a while since I've not had them at the game. So yeah, all very good. I think from my other side, is just fingers crossed now in terms of their health, run up to their competition time now and getting them on the start line. My success for me is speaking to every athlete after the games and them saying to me, I came away and I left everything there and I couldn't have done any more. Now, whether that's a medal or whether it's a top 10 or a PB or a season's best, that doesn't matter. I think we've got a great team, and I think if they go out there and deliver to their very max with their ability, that's success for me. They've got everything they need from us and they've done the very best.
Hi, I'm Lee Holland. I'm the National Swimming Coach for Isle of Man Aquatics team for the Birmingham Commonwealth Games. We have a rehearsed line of, we're there to swim fast. We're there to swim personal best times, and what that might bring, we'll see. We can't control what anyone else does. There might be a huge number of new swimmers that means a PB doesn't take us as far up as it would have done at the last games. Those are things which we can't control. All we can do is try and swim as fast as we ever have done. Even down to training Saturday morning, there were swims where people were swimming PBs in training in here on Saturday morning. So they're fast, they're ready, and they'll only get faster between now and the games. As long as we can go in and execute our game plan as well as we can, that's all I can ask for of the athletes.
Graham Hatcher and Lee Holland there, and you'll be able to watch and listen to extended interviews with both of them very soon on manxradio.com.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today, or find us on Facebook.
We move on to cycling now, and this weekend sees the return of a major international cycling event on the Isle of Man. Gran Fondo 2022 is taking place this Saturday and Sunday, with 5 different events on 2 wheels over the 2 days. They'll range from the 137km Gran Fondo on the Sunday, down to the family-friendly Minusculo Fondo around Morag Park in Ramsey on the Saturday, aiming to balance good competition with making cycling accessible and enjoyable for everyone. Not only that, but icon of Manx sport, the Manx missile himself, Mark Cavendish, will be in attendance this weekend and will be one of those taking part in the big Gran Fondo race as well. So how popular is the event shaping up to be this year? And how does it feel to have the legendary Cav back on Ireland and being involved? I spoke with Rob Holden of the Isle of Man Cycling Association.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, obviously we've had the pandemic period, which we were fortunate enough to run the Gran Fondo through that period, but it's now in its 7th edition. It's powered by Santander this year, so they've brought a whole new sort of, you know, they're very excited about it and really big supporters of cycling in general. So we're really, really looking forward to it. And the forecast's looking phenomenal for the weekend.
It's the fact as well that this doesn't just attract cyclists on Ireland as well. It attracts those from beyond as well. It is very much a recognised and well-respected event.
Yeah, it's certainly establishing itself as such. So for anyone who's not familiar with it, it's the Gran Fondo is a series of events that happen around the world. We were fortunate enough to get status from UCI, which is a governing body of cycling that run Gran Fondo series. So we form part of a series worldwide, which culminates in a world championship final in September. So anyone who's riding the Gran Fondo, which there's a number of events, but the longest and toughest event, the 82-mile event, is age-related. So if you finish in the top 20 of that, you qualify for the World Championship later in September. So what we've seen this year is we've seen quite a, as we come out of the start to come out of the pandemic, we're seeing travel restrictions removed. You know, we've seen a bigger entry. So, you know, we've got riders from all over the world, you know, most of Europe, Australia, Asia riding. You know, so there's up to 250 people, you know, travelling from outside of the Isle of Man. But the thing I would say about the Fondo is, you know, it's not all middle-aged blokes in Lycra. It's probably one of the most accessible cycling events. So literally, if you have a bike, there is something for you to ride and just cruise around, whether you're preschool to people over the age of 80. And we have got some people aged over 80 who are riding some of the events. So it's really accessible.
Just leading on from that point, it being accessible, like you say, there are a range of events. The Gran Fondo right at the top, considered the most challenging, the longest distance, for example. But then you go right to the other end of the scale. You've got the likes of the Minusculo Fondo as well, which is just a family-friendly event just around Morag Park in Ramsey. You can get your younger kids and your families involved. Having that option and that opportunity for the likes of families to get involved as well as those who are on the competitive side in other events, how important is that in keeping people involved and encouraged to be involved in cycling?
Well, it's 100% that. So for the format of the weekend, for anyone who's not familiar with it, on Saturday, where the down at Morag Park, where we set up the village, so there's really good quality food available, ice cream, etc. We've got the large screen show in the Tour de France. Even if you're not riding the event, come down, soak up the atmosphere. The weather's going to be great, and you can just enjoy the setting, which as we know, even without the bike race, is a lovely setting. On Saturday, for example, we have the Minusculo. So this is for, like I say, it's a 1 mile circuit, closed road, you know, really safe. You can cruise around at whatever speed you want, just chilling out and just nice and relaxed. It's based for families, young kids, like I say, preschool kids, really enjoy it. All the kids get a free ice cream and a bottle and a t-shirt at the end of it, and they can ride around for an hour and they absolutely love it. And we've got about 200 entries for that. So that's it's one of my favourite events, the Minusculo and the Piccolo on the Sunday. So on the Sunday, we move on to the three Fondo type events. So they range from 20 miles up to the big one, which is 82 miles. What I absolutely love about the Piccolo, and I ride it every year, just talking to people, is that when we set off from Ramsey and we go over the bridge and you head out on Bride Road there, the range of people who are riding it, you know, on all sorts of bikes, you know, just dressed in normal clothes. You know, I've seen a guy with a rucksack with a dog in it, and, you know, and families riding, say, and you know we're fortunate enough that you know, we get quite a lot of support from DOI and the road closures. It just makes it a really, really safe event, and that's, you know, it's key to getting new people just riding bikes. You know, it's just for the fun of it, and it's when, you know, which is the point about the Piccolo, is I really enjoy riding around and just talking to people about that, and just got big smiles on the face. I absolutely love it.
At the moment, in terms of numbers, how are they looking at the moment?
Yeah, well, we've got our biggest entry. Like I say, it's the seventh edition. It's the biggest entry ever. So we're looking at topping over 1,000 people across the different courses. You know, and luckily enough, we've got a couple of World Tour riders. So Mark Cavendish will be down there. He'll be down there riding the Fondo on Sunday. He's also going to come down to the Minusculo on Saturday and, you know, see off the kids event, which is really nice. And I know I've spoken to him and he's really excited. He really gets what it's all about in terms of the accessibility of the whole event. So he's quite excited to be actually down there and soaking up the atmosphere on Saturday as well as Sunday.
Yeah, having someone like him involved in it as well and mixing with people and just being part of the event, that could be a real inspiration to particularly younger generations as well, when you've got someone like him as, I suppose, the head of it.
Oh, absolutely, and he's such, you know, he's such a good guy to talk to, you know, if and any of the kids talk, he absolutely loves it. He's a big lover of cycling, you know. I'm not talking about bike racing, just about people on bikes. You know, he fully supports it. It's a, you know, so yeah, hence, you know, he's, and I think it's, you know, when you look at the full spectrum of events that we've got, like I say, you know, it's one of the most accessible. Not just cycling events, but sporting events. And like I say, anyone can take part. You don't need any special clothes. You don't need a really expensive bike to do it. And any age can do it in safety. You know, Mark gets all that completely. So it'll be great to see him down there enjoying the weekend.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today, or find us on Facebook.
Now we turn to football, and it's set to be both a memorable and busy weekend ahead for FC Isle of Man as their pre-season preparations continue. Tomorrow sees the Ravens take part in a double header of games at the Bowl. First up, a huge occasion for the club as they face highly respected National League outfit Altrincham from 3 p.m. before taking on Shifnal Town of the Midland League Premier Division at 6:30 p.m. I caught up again with FC Isle of Man's Director of Football, Paul Jones, to take a look at what is an exciting landmark weekend for the club this time around.
I think the first thing is an awful lot of players have got to play a good number of minutes of football. You know, so we had some 16-year-olds playing against Nostal, who did exceptionally well when they came on in the second half. And, you know, we've had a big group able to get some minutes in pre-season. And from certainly my perspective and the club's perspective, we're not really looking at the results at the end of the day or the outcome. It's about the process and the performance and whether we're moving in the right direction. And it was two very different groups that played against Nostal and then against Widnes. So, you know, obviously from the club's perspective, we're looking for progression and for looking improvement. And those two teams that they played gave us a really good challenge, and hopefully then, you know, on Saturday there'll be two big challenges ahead, and we move and we build, and the players are able to put in place some of the things that Chris and Lee are asking them to do from a football perspective.
Just looking back to last week again, two of the key things that Chris Bass mentioned was this is where the team learns with results like that and with performances like that. He also said that while there were some positives, the performances will have to improve a lot, considering especially Altrincham coming up this weekend. What's sort of been spoken about this week in terms of where you think improvements might lie going into this Saturday?
Yeah, I think Lee and Chris spoke to them on Tuesday around a little bit more around team shape and where we need to be and how we need to look after each other maybe a little bit more against some of the better teams. And a lot of the focus since they've been in training is on building fitness and getting miles in their legs, so to speak, and with a little bit of ball work. And this week the emphasis has shifted more towards playing as a team and some of the things that we really require, because it's no point being really, really fit if you can't keep a tactical shape and you can't deliver the pass at the right time or make the tackle at the right time. So I think that's where the emphasis is going to be over the next few weeks in the run-up to the season, and it's for the lads to take those points of view onto themselves and the team and show that they understand what's expected of them against, you know, let's make no bones about it, Altrincham will be probably the hardest team that this club has, or the biggest team that this club has ever faced, and the stiffest test that we've ever faced. So it'll be a really big ask for them, but, you know, we believe in them, and it would be nice to have a really big crowd down to see where we need to get to. If we have aspirations of playing in the National League, then we need to get somewhere close to the standard that Altrincham are at the moment. And, you know, the young people of the island, the coaches of the island, and anyone involved in Manx football, hopefully they can come along and see where we're at versus where we want to get to.
Going on to that game, the first one on Saturday, Altrincham, 3 o'clock. National League outfit and one of the biggest names in non-league football, I think it's fair to say, in England as well. Just how big a moment is this for yourselves at FC Isle of Man to have such a well-established and respected club being part of your pre-season preparations?
It's fantastic, and it's testament to all the hard work that's gone on in the last couple of years on and off the pitch, and for the environment that the supporters have created, you know, over last season with, you know, 1,600 average attendances and, you know, a couple of thousand up to 3,000 on some of the bigger games. You know, clubs want to come to the Isle of Man and see it as a really valuable experience for their players. So, you know, when Altrincham approached me, it was a no-brainer really to make sure that we found time in our schedule to play them. And it's kind of meant having to play two games in one day, but, you know, where you're not going to turn down a team like Altrincham when they want to come to the Isle of Man. You know, they're coming Friday to Monday, I think, you know, so it's a couple of night bed stays with a big group and hopefully a big army of travelling supporters that are, you know, really going to experience the Isle of Man, hopefully in some good weather, and you never know, they might be back again in the future.
Moving on to the second game then, 6:30 kickoff against Shifnal Town. What can you tell us a little little bit about them as well?
Not too much, to be honest, Rob. You know, we can go and look at some stats databases around Altrincham and find out a little bit about how they play and, you know, what they're likely to do on Saturday. But Shiffnell play in the Midland Prem. You know, it's a Step 5 league. There's not a lot of information out there at the moment. Lee Dixon, our assistant manager, used to play, I think, with their manager up at Carlisle. So that's where the connections come from for Shiffnell coming over. And no, it's a little bit more like how we experienced our league last year. We don't know too much about the team in advance of them coming. So we plan to play our way and then it's about adapting if we need to how they set up and to make sure we come out on top and stamp our authority on the game.
And what do you think are the main objectives from these two games? You have different objectives throughout pre-season. As a club, one of those big things will of course be fitness, that match sharpness, but sometimes from a tactical side there may be things that you're looking to work out, and I know you're not going to give away the tactical secrets of FC Isle of Man, but what are the main objectives, would you say, from this weekend, because it will be intense?
I think, you know, match sharpness is a key one, also embedding the style of play that the manager wants to play and maybe some of the basics and foundations around that with as many players as possible. But also, you know, decisions haven't been made really around what the starting 11 might be for that first game in the season, so all the players have got an opportunity to show what they can bring to the club individually, but also, you know, how they can make the team stronger when they're in it. So there's quite a lot to play for really, you know, in terms of building a team towards the start of the season, but for each individual who gets the opportunity to play to put their hand up and say like they need to be in that starting 11 on the first game of the season, and then if they're there, you know, it's up to them to stay in the team. So, you know, there's lots of things and everyone will have their own little kind of goals for the next few days. I'm just really interested in seeing how we match up against the National League team and how another group of players matches up against the Step 5 team, and to see how far away we are or not, as the case may be, and then take some lessons that we can apply over the next few months to bridge the gap even further than we have done already.
From a spectator's perspective, I think, tickets, for example, what is the situation with that? Because it is a doubleheader, so it might work a little bit differently.
Yeah, great shout. Tickets are available on the website at the moment. If you're buying a ticket for Altrincham, it's £5 for adults and £2.50 for children and concessions, and under fives are free. If you have a ticket for that game, you can stay in and watch the Shiffnell game and not have to pay any more money. For those of you that can't come in the afternoon, then, you know, you need to buy a ticket for the Shiffnell game at the same price points. But we hope as many people as possible come down and watch Altrincham and then stay for as long as possible to watch the second game as well. And it's two slightly different groups of players that will be playing and two very different teams at very different levels. So hopefully it'll be a really nice 4 or 5 hours where we can enjoy the sunshine, enjoy each other's company and watch some good football.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today, or find us on Facebook.
And on top of that, today, FC Isle of Man have released their provisional squads for both games, those against Altrincham and Shiffnell Town this Saturday. You can see those provisional squads over at manxradio.com. And finally tonight, it remains a busy time for the Manx athletic schedule. Coupled with the continued series of events locally, we've been seeing preparations develop for Ireland athletes taking part in the Commonwealth Games from later this month. A host of competitions will continue to take place throughout the summer period, and there's also been a recent success to enjoy as well. Dave Griffiths told me more about that, and also how in the last 7 days we've seen Manx Athletics history being made.
We had a real moment of history in Manx Athletics last Saturday, which in fact I only became aware of quite recently, and that was one of our Commonwealth Games athletes. David Malarkey has become the first Manx athlete in history to break the 4-minute barrier for the mile. The mile, of course, is not a distance that's run particularly often these days, but with the history of the event, it's an extremely iconic event still, and I think going back 68 years to the first ever 4-minute mile, which was achieved by the late Roger Bannister, that was one of the greatest moments in the history of sport, never mind athletics. And I think the 4-minute mile is still a magic barrier, and David has not only beat the 4-minute barrier, but he beat it convincingly. He was competing in a meeting on the University of Birmingham track on Saturday, and he achieved a time of 3:58.71, which is absolutely outstanding, and in fact it beats Keith Gerrard's Isle of Man record, which has stood since 2013 by something in the region of 9.5 seconds. So David clearly is in absolutely magnificent form ahead of the Commonwealth Games, which of course is coming up very shortly.
The mile isn't necessarily as popularly run, but why has this history around it grown so much? What makes it such a magical barrier to break?
I think at the time when Roger Bannister broke the record in 1954, and people had been trying to do it for several years, and it was just a really big thing at that time in that particular era. Many athletes had gone very close at the time, but it just seemed that the 4-minute barrier simply couldn't be broken. And when Roger Bannister eventually did break it, quite a number of athletes broke it shortly after that. But it was just such a historic event. And I think the magic of that has lived on through the years. And I think even now, like I say, although it's not a distance that's run very often, it is still a really magic distance. And I think to achieve the sub 4-minute mile, even so many years later, is still a fantastic achievement and one to be really proud of.
Looking locally as well, we've had some recent positives as well, haven't we, in the Track and Field League with the Manx representatives out in Wigan recently.
Yes, I was with the team on Sunday. The Isle of Man team is a composite team, which is made up of members of Manx Harriers, Northern AC and Western AC, and they compete under the banner of Team Isle of Man. They compete in the North of England League, and the Isle of Man team are in the Western Premier Division, which is a four-match league over the course of the season, involving six clubs. In the previous two, we finished fourth and third, and on Sunday we achieved second place, which was a brilliant performance by the whole team. It's a match where every discipline of athletics in track and field is covered, and we had representation in every event. A lot of athletes were multitasking by competing in the case of Daniel Stewart Clegg, five individual events plus the relays. And it was a great performance, especially as we had no less than 10 of our athletes who were in the under 17 age group competing against seniors. So a great experience for them. A lot of them are improving all the time. Some of them will be looking to get into the team for the Island Games, the Isle of Man team in Guernsey next year, and it was just a great performance all round.
Wasn't straightforward conditions either. I believe it was pretty hot out at Robin Park as well.
It really was. I don't know what it is about Robin Park and Wigan. I've been there, I think, three times in the last 5 or 6 years, and it's been really hot every time. So presumably the sun always shines in Wigan. It certainly seems to for me anyway.
Well, let's take a look forward then into the coming weeks. We have, of course, that big thing in front of us, the Commonwealth Games. But locally, what have we got coming up in July?
Well, we've got quite a big event coming up on the National Sports Centre Roadway next Wednesday, which is the 20th of July. It's a Manx Harriers organised road race, which consists of a 5 kilometre run, which is 6 1/4 laps of the roadway, followed by a 10 kilometre walk, which is 12 1/2. The 5 kilometre run will form part of the Murray Lambdon Memorial Meeting. People may remember that the annual meeting that we had in February had to be stopped before the 5K run started because of a really heavy snowfall, which meant that it wasn't safe to use the roadway. And thankfully, with the permission of the Lambdon family, the 5 kilometre run will be part of that meeting. So the prizes and the shields for that meeting will be presented on Wednesday. So that's really good. Entries are on the night. The 5 kilometre run starts at 6:15 and the 10 kilometre walk will start at 6:45 or as soon afterwards as possible. Entries are on the day in the Manx Harriers Clubhouse, opening at 5 p.m. One thing to note is that the run has a limit of 60 athletes, so it is on a first-come, first-serve basis, so do get down there as early as you possibly can. On Friday the 22nd, we have the final round of the Dave Phillips running series, which is based in Peel, with races for youngsters from under-9s and under-11s on the promenade, and then for under-13s upwards go on to the Headlands course. On Saturday the 23rd and Saturday the 24th of July, we have the Isle of Man Track and Field Championships, a two-day event. Entries for that have closed now, but that will be a real showcase of particularly some of the talent that we have coming through in the young age groups. And again, some of the athletes who are aiming to get to the Island Games next year will be hoping to achieve standards. And they will have another opportunity on Wednesday the 27th of July with the final round of the Isle of Man Track and Field League.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today, or find us on Facebook.
That's all we have time for on Friday Sport Preview this week. Many thanks to my guests this week, Graham Hatcher, Lee Holland, Rob Holden, Paul Jones and Dave Griffiths. Have yourself a wonderful Friday evening, whatever you're doing, and have a wonderful weekend as well. So until next time, bye for now.